Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I'll handle this. The Avatar is back. This is Appa, my flying bicycle.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Tom Beifong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko? You look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing her feral kids.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on!
Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DongBuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hello.
Jeff.
Hello.
And Delaney.
Hello.
Today we will be revisiting the Avatar episode Zuko Alone, and we all just rewatched the episode before the podcast, and we'll be discussing everything about the episode. This is a new, I guess kind of a new concept, is just rediscussing old episodes for the podcast, but I think it's a good one, as suggested by Sweet Sweet Victory on the DF forums. And I would encourage you all to rewatch Zuko Alone. You could like pause the podcast, go back, rewatch it, and then listen again, as I think it's good to have the episode fresh when, you know, like discussing. And
I think you remember and
listening.
You don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, this is a pretty memorable episode, but it's good to have rewatched it. It was a while ago when it aired, 2006, I think. So, yeah. But if you don't rewatch it, you can still.
8 years.
Yeah, you can still listen to this.
There are human beings that age on Earth right now.
Well, that's true about Korra episodes, though.
Stop.
Yes, but they're more intelligent.
They are more intelligent.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, you can rewatch it or not, but unlike the commentaries, you don't have to rewatch this one. And so this is going to be a free-form discussion. I don't want to pick over every detail of the episode. I just want to discuss, not even necessarily its merits. I think this is an interesting one to discuss now, because of the recent completion of the search. And I guess that's it. But I mean, that's as relevant as episodes get, Avatar episodes get nowadays. It's been a while since the show's aired. But yeah, I guess.
Well, has it even been revisited since the culmination of Zuko's storyline at the end of the show?
The episode or the plotline?
Well, I mean, like, has the episode been revisited?
Not really. We actually had never did a specific episode discussion for this episode. The podcast started after season 2, so the episodes before season 2, we kind of like did bulk discussions a while ago, but yeah, these ones we never had actual discussions for, so it's good, it's gonna be good to do pre-season 3 ones as well. You can contact us, Dylan, at dongbufang.net, at dongbufang.net for Tumblr and Twitter, and post on the DF forums, discuss this episode with us at dongbufang.net/podcast. So, and more discussion on the, like, merits of this format versus the commentary format at the end of the podcast. That's boring, so we'll do that later. So let's get right into Zuko Alone. We all just rewatched it. I don't necessarily want to do an around the horn, but I guess I want to open it up by saying, starting it off with, I guess the most notable thing about this episode, other than that, it's, like, the only thing we get of Zuko's past, is the tone and the atmosphere the episode evokes is really different. It's a very, like, solemn setting and everything. There's a few jokes in it that really stand out because the episode is very not funny. And I guess one of the other things is that's part of this this atmosphere that they create, is it's very slow-paced, which is especially notable, I think, coming from watching Korra episodes, which do not ever find room to breathe. The Zuko Alone starts with about a several-minute sequence of Zuko walking various places with barely any dialogue, and it's very effective. And
lots of shots just on his face.
Yeah, and it's creates the tone and the emotional structure of the episode, and it's very effective and something that seems very jarring after watching Korra.
What I liked about that walk was, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering, but it seems like it's one of the first looks we get at like a real Earth Kingdom desert. And then as well as just being a battlefield, we can see old, discarded.
It's where Wan died.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very clear after watching it again. That is the location where Wan died. But yeah, I agree. This episode sets up Earth Kingdom, this type of Earth Kingdom setting more so than we see previously.
Well, we don't have a lot of like different settings. And I mean, this sounds stupid, but like in Avatar, like we have like the Water Tribe, which it's a glacier all the time, and then most of the time they're in forests. So this is a very different. I feel like, that's not until later in the season where they're in the desert. But you know what I mean? Like you don't really like it's just this is very kind of sudden. Like we go from forest, we're always in a forest or in a village, and now it's like wait, now there's nothing.
Yeah, this is the beginning of season two, or it's beginning middle. So it's before we get to we have complete deserts for the rest of season two. That's true. Yes. This episode is written by Elizabeth Welshehaz, and I would say that this is definitely her masterpiece in Avatar.
The dialogue is awful.
There is not much dialogue in here.
Ursa's dialogue is awful.
There's some jarring Ursa lines. I agree, and yes. This is not
especially
something
with like the actress. Like her line reads are just so flat, and the dialogue does not help.
This is not something I remember about the episode. There's some of the Ursa lines that are jarring, but I guess that's not what we want to start off with. Because I do think overall this is one of the most successful episodes of Avatar in terms of what it sets out to do, and one of the most interesting and watchable. I don't know. I'm basically trying to say it's very good. The last time I ranked every episode of Avatar, I had this, I think, at 6, which is insanely high. And I mostly stand by that. There's more faults with this than I remember, but it's still very good and better than I could imagine them doing in setting in, like, this basically makes the Zuko character. You take this episode away, and the very important journey that Zuko goes on this season falls much more flat, or flat in general, because I think it is a successful plot line.
Well, this allows us to see, like, we wouldn't get that Zuko's going on, like, a life-changing journey at this point, like, at the rest of the season. Like, this sets it up. Like, we get where they're going. We're like, okay, Zuko has a soul, and he's going to do
stuff. Avatar basically has 3 flashback episodes in its entire thing, and it contains them into one episode chunks. That puts a lot of pressure on these episodes to be successful. And indeed, I think they're 3 of the most successful of the episodes. I think Avatar and the Fire Lord much less so than the Storm in this one. But what you have to do is you place less emphasis on the dialogue and more emphasis on the events of the story. And this episode just wants to create a tone and parallels between a current Zuko situation, which is completely irrelevant to any plotline in Avatar. But I guess it's somewhat important to Zuko in that this triggers his memories of it. And it's not even that we're like, oh, I understand that this is such a realistic thing that he's thinking of these things because of his current situation. Some of the flashbacks they cut to are just pretty random, given his current situation, but that's not really what's important. So I guess thoughts on the episode's structure, the parallels between him and this Earth Kingdom village and his flashbacks.
A few of them actually made sense.
A few don't. But like I said, I don't know if that's the point.
Definitely isn't the point. Just the fact that the flashbacks are there is very, like, I feel like it's what's important that we had this episode for Zuko. And not so much, like, the parallels with it, but I feel like it was very effectively done, like, when the flashbacks happened. Not necessarily, like, in line with the story, but, like, just as you're watching a television show.
Yeah.
It felt nice, and, like, yeah, it was kind of jarring, like, what was going on in the... Though I thought it was funny that every time he got knocked out, this happened. That was pretty interesting.
Zuko, he does seem to get knocked out a lot, yes. I think what's interesting about the flashbacks specifically, they're very short and succinct. The one Ursa line that stuck out to me as maybe being not so great was Zuko is demonstrating to Azulon, and then he like falls, and Ursa rushes up to him, and it's like, this is who you are. You're someone who fights. And it was very, it felt like something that doesn't make sense in that situation to me.
It was very forced.
Yeah, I agree.
It was not a good thing. Yeah, that really did stick out to me.
I actually like that line, because it sort of reinforced the mother-son relationship there.
Yeah, I like that she's saying something, and I like the line, but I don't necessarily like it in that context. Like, specifically yes. in that moment. But I don't think it's that bad. Like, that's very ignorable in the context of the episode. Not that you should ignore the line, but the snappiness, I guess, of the flashbacks. Like, the first flashback is also just happens very fast, like the throwing the thing at the turtle duck, and then the Azula thing with Zuko and Mei.
Which I loved. I loved how they established their personalities back in the day.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I guess getting right into it, the one thing that's most interesting to me upon rewatch here is Azula in this episode, young Azula. She's kind of portrayed as, like, evil from a young age. And it seems very unrealistic to me. Like, yes. I don't think this is things children do.
You know what? She's supposed to be 14 in the series. I don't think 14-year-olds are doing any of the things that she's doing.
So I agree with that. You forget that these characters, other than Aang, are actually, like, Katara's 14s.
Well, they set Sokka's up the 15. Rivalry well, I thought.
I agree with that.
Like, they definitely set up, like, especially in the Azulon scene, like, Ozai, oh my god, that smile, oh, that was terrible, but... I feel like they did the rivalry well, but yeah, in general, like, it was, like, I'm like, Azula's a bit too evil, but at the same time, a lot of things she did, like, hey, come play with us, and then, like, how she, like, then it was like, how did you trick your mom? Your mom knows you're evil.
Yeah, it seems like, actually, I understand that, I think, because it seems like Ursa is either in denial about Azula or doesn't realize how she is yet. I got that impression from the episode.
Well, that scene... Sorry.
No, continue.
I was just gonna say, well, that scene, like, when she's, like, come play with, like, I feel like that was, like, the most realistic and, like, just summed up Azula's character.
Yeah, I like her behavior in that scene. I guess, specifically, her being, like, what if Iroh died? And, you know, like, she says, well, like, that twice.
Does anyone... I don't know how psychopaths or sociopaths act when they're children. Does anyone? I don't know.
So are they... I guess that's a good question. Are they setting up Azula here to be a sociopath? Like,
because she is in the series. And so I think they're definitely... That might be realistic.
I mean, looking, like, after having... I mean, I think that's the whole point of this. Like, we've already seen Azula. We've seen Azula at this point. So, like, we know Azula's terrible, and we know she's a sociopath. So I feel like they're just kind of, like, doing it to, like, keep the image going so it's not so jarring.
So... I guess a few things about this. One is that this is very early on in Azula's character arc. This is probably the third appearance of Azula in the series, maybe fourth. So I don't think it's established that she's awful yet. Like, she's certainly a villain, but think about what we've seen of her at this point. It's not that bad. Also, I do take issue with, I guess, throwing around sociopath for Azula. Like, I think
she's that... She's a high-functioning sociopath. How's that?
I think maybe, but I think we would need to examine that in more depth to make that statement. And we actually haven't. We haven't done that on the podcast.
Well, that could definitely be made in a podcast. 100... After Ian, we would determine that Azula is a sociopath.
I thought we settled this back when she, like, lied perfectly to Toph.
I agree that that's a sign, but... I don't know if it's that simple, and I don't know if that's what they're trying to do either. So this isn't important, the Azula designation here. It's more like, would they even know that this is what they're trying to do with it in the series right now? And is this a good representation? Because I guess even if this is a realistic representation of people like this at a young age, Azula just doesn't seem human to me at various points in this episode.
The lines are definitely, like, odd. Like, the stuff about Iroh, like, the things she said at certain points are definitely, like, what? They're overdoing it.
They definitely need, I think, Elizabeth Walshiaz makes decisions based on, the amount of time she has in the episode. She wants to spend more time creating this tone in the setting than to spend on dialogues, and I think flashbacks have diminishing returns with them, so, like, you need to only include a few lines here and there, and if we spend all the entire episode in flashback, then it becomes less special, I think, too.
Yeah.
So I don't take issue with the fact that Azula says one thing in a scene, and it sounds awful, and then we go to another scene, and then she says one thing, and that's awful, too. It's like, she gets one line per scene, that's fine. She's also not the focus of this. But I guess just overall, her character maybe doesn't come off too strongly to me here. In terms of development, not even development, just portrayal. Whereas Zuko's also very one-dimensional, though, in this episode. But it relates to him in the present, so you get to see like this dynamic between him in the past and the present. Let's talk about Ursa a little bit. Ursa really doesn't do much. I remember watching this episode at a younger age and thinking very clearly that Ursa had died at the end of the episode.
This episode really made me think, like, what? Wait, what just happened?
So it's very... I love the wait, what just happened aspect of this. Like, it's so good. It wouldn't make sense to focus on Azulon and Ozai's side of this. Like, it's very much, okay, we are Zuko and Azula in this episode. And so, if they're confused, we're confused. And Zuko more than Azula. But, yeah. So
really, this episode made me, like, I didn't care about Ursa at all.
So, yeah, a lot of people, like, care about Ursa coming out of that. I don't think that's the point. I think we're supposed to care about Zuko and his reaction.
Yeah, I couldn't feel a connection with Ursa at all. Like, I didn't care about her. I didn't... Left, whatever.
I didn't care until they were like, until season 3, and Zuko's like, "Where's my mom?" Like, I didn't care until that moment. Like, I didn't care at all because I thought she had died. I didn't realize.
Sam, what did you think at the time? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
And Jeff, you said you didn't know what happened, but did you think one way or another?
No, I didn't even.
You didn't even really consider. Nope. Yeah, I don't think this episode is supposed to have us. I don't think the episode cares what happens to Ursa. I don't think
Ursa's appearance is just used to characterize Zuko and like part of his development. It doesn't like the whole point isn't Ursa.
Well, I agree. I guess I'm trying to make a more specific point of Ursa's fate is not of no concern to the episode, and I don't think it's intended to be a concern to the audience.
Yes,
I would. Yeah. So that being said, now obviously in the canon of Avatar, Ursa lives and goes on the journey, which is in the search.
So stupid.
I don't mind that that happens, but upon rewatching it here, I don't care about that. I can completely ignore that. That's the canon, quote unquote.
I can't.
But
all I can think is just like, oh, she turns into this lady and she doesn't remember anything. And
yeah, so
giant tree face person. And, oh.
Spoilers, but okay. That was very general. But here, I get the impression this time upon rewatch that she just ran away. Like, I don't really see any reason that she would be killed by anyone this time watching it, which is weird because that's the exact opposite reaction I had last time.
Yes. Or that she had done the killing.
Well, so I do get the impression that she may have done the killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't get the impression that anyone had to kill her.
To be honest, I don't even remember what happened in the search with Azulon and Ursa. Like, what happened, I don't remember.
I also kind of don't remember. I don't think they're very clear.
I have no idea. Like, I was just thinking that. I'm like, did she actually kill him?
I remember her saying something about an odorless, scentless poison that was
she did movie. Didn't she kill him in the search? I feel like I don't care about that. That's it's so
I feel
irrelevant.
Like, it was heavily implied, but they didn't like really
they, I remember in the search they didn't definitively say a lot of stuff about this, but they think they may have said that. That being said, like, if that is canon, but I can completely ignore it when watching Avatar because it's irrelevant.
I can't.
It's also happened after it was made after the fact of Avatar, and it's just nothing to do with
I can't
episode.
Separate it.
I would encourage you to try.
Okay.
Like the impact of her leaving, like, as an audience member was, like, significant. Not that we really cared about Ursa, but, like, we couldn't even really feel for Zuko as much because we know what happens. Like, from, like, talking about what Sam and, like, talking about, like, the search.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of, like, not that there was, like, a big impact to begin with, but there wasn't so much an, oh, gasp moment because you're like, oh, she goes and does stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see that. I do think I had it out of my mind though watching
probably
this,
when I was younger and before the search happened, I was like, oh, Ursa, she left and Zuko's all sad now. How sad. But now I don't feel that way because I already know what happens to her.
Well, let's not try to think of the episode like that as having a lesser impact now, even if it might.
I can't.
I'm sorry. But
I mean, for Zuko's character, it doesn't. It's just, I don't know. And just Ursa becomes even more of like a like of not a problem, like
so
a
what,
non-issue. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah. So I mean, whatever that happened with the impact of Ursa, her character I think is very secondary here, and it's the flashbacks focus on Zuko more and his relationship with Ursa. But other things to happen in the flashbacks, we see Iroh for a thing, and this is how we get the Iroh backstory.
I love how they have a desk in the middle of a battlefield and just writing a letter.
That makes no sense, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, why, like, they just burnt down the wall. How is there, like, nobody coming in and, like, trying to assassinate Iroh with his desk?
It's an impenetrable desk. I remember
they had to have carried that desk. Like, that desk was moved to that place. Which means they either brought it from the Fire Nation or they went into Ba Sing Se, got a desk, and brought it out.
Well, I was under the impression that was sort of done. Like, commanders, generals get desks.
Probably
was,
in...
But there wasn't even, like, a tent.
Probably in, like a tent, yeah.
Right next to it.
Yeah. So why is the desk... It was a visual thing. Like, it wasn't supposed to be literal. Yeah. But
it
whatever.
Was just really funny,
We see the Turtle Ducks flashback. We see the Zuko and Mei and the Aero flashback. That what?
That confused me. I was like, now, is the game to shoot the fire at the apple, or is the game to knock someone over? I don't get it.
The thing is... The
game is to get Zuko and
The
Mei
game is to get Zuko to crash into Mei,
well,
trying
yes,
to save
but what is the game that Zuko thought it was? I don't know.
Zuko's dumb. He doesn't...
Yes, that's what I was like. Zuko's dumb. He
that's not
it.
The point. Zuko's just irrelevant. Yeah. We understand that. Yeah.
Girls are dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Girls are crazy, yeah. Oh, I guess one thing I want to mention about this episode is that it's extremely male-dominated. Yes. Like, I guess that's notable. Most episodes of Avatar are completely male-dominated, but they have more of a male presence. But this one is just, like, it's just males everywhere, which makes sense because it's a Zuko episode. But I guess that's just notable. And it's also notable because this is the female writer, too. It was very patriarchal, too, that family, the royal family.
I felt like it was the episode as a whole was a lot about like male pride.
And you could say that the episode was commenting negatively on that though.
No, I got that a lot from like the dad character. What's his face?
Gansu.
Yeah, it was very much like a man doesn't have to do.
Was like a man doesn't have to do.
Yeah.
There's also a bit like when Zuko's hammering nails, like he could have just said, "No, it's all right. I'll deal with it. You're messing things up." But he like, he understands that, like, Zuko doesn't want to be a charity case. He wants to honorably earn his keep.
Yeah, it was a lot of, yeah. That I don't really connect to the Zuko and the dad, like, honor and a man doesn't have to do this stuff.
That's what I just thought of.
But it really establishes the tone well. Like, I think a lot of this is for this, I don't know, I keep saying tone, but, you know, like, this atmosphere of the episode.
Oh, and it was kind of... Oh, sorry.
No. What were you going to say?
Just, like, talking about, like, the male dominance, how it was kind of odd how they, like, they kept switching back and forth about Azula. Like, Azula act very toffish in this episode, especially with the doll. But then though, Ozawa was like, Azula's the best, she's so much better than Zuko, and it was just really kind of flip-floppy, like, their attitude toward Azula.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the context of the male dominance.
Interesting. Yeah, I got that as a lesser, treating her as lesser thing. I think it was maybe a female thing, but also a younger thing with Iroh sending her the doll.
Yeah.
But then it does seem like Ozai treats her as more legitimate, which makes sense if he knows her better and knows her skill level.
That's like how when I was a kid, my dad and my stepmom every Christmas used to get me really girly things, and I'm not very girly, so... Here we are.
You were late to Azula burning the doll.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I remember I got tons of Barbies.
I remember one year they got me the Mary Kate and Ashley game. It's Mary Kate and Ashley License to Drive. They got me that game one Christmas. I'm like, thank you. I'm totally into Mary Kate and Ashley.
And then you burned it with your firebending.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go that way.
But anyway, I don't even remember. We're going through the flashbacks. There's that one where Iroh sends them stuff. What do you think of the whole knife and the symbolism stuff with the knife? It's pretty on the nose. I guess
it's the inscription. Oh yeah, pretty yeah. on there. Like that was, you couldn't have gotten any more like obvious.
Yeah, I think it's effective though. It's like it's fine.
I mean, I have to not that Cora like got really like yeah, it's more, it's kind of more adult, but like, not that it's like exceedingly clever or anything. But it was a bit jarring going back to Avatar and then doing this, and I was like, oh, I forgot how enjoyable it was to watch Avatar when they do things like this.
Yeah, I guess that there's that. I do think Korra. I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, Avatar I think is more this like this episode does things that Korra doesn't do.
Oh yeah, definitely.
In terms of plot, tone, etc.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying like. I mean, Avatar definitely has more intelligent moments than Korra sometimes, and like you know, back and forth.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, there weren't any fart jokes in this episode. Like some.
That's what I was about to say. However, Korra does fart jokes, and
yeah. Let's talk about the current time stuff in this. So we talked about the flashbacks a lot, but the big moment, everything basically irrelevant, like the Zuko and, kid, we just watched this and I don't remember his name, but their interactions were, not insignificant. Like they're supposed to be fine, but I don't, the main part of this was him at the end fighting the soldiers and then, his the fire bending reveal and stuff, which I think is done very well. I don't know how much it means. Like, it's like never forget who you are. Oh, I'm just gonna say exactly who I am. Like, I don't find terribly deep meaning with that, but I think it was done. It was executed very well in the episode.
I found a lot more meaning like watching it, and I'd forgot a lot about this episode. Like, I knew in general what it was about. I mean, but like. Especially at that, like, that last scene, and it was, you know, just, and we joke about in Korra all the time how firebenders are just evil. And I just felt so bad for Zuko, and it just kind of ties in, I feel like, to, like, when you make one person, like, you put, why can't I even think of this? Like, where you dehumanize the enemy, and then, like, at the same time, like, they're all evil. Like, you just generalize it, and you turn, and it's me against you, and it's not, like, because and the way they flipped so quickly... Like, I don't necessarily know if, like, this really, like, hammers anything home, like, as Avatar goes on from this point. But I guess kind of looking back, it kind of shows, like, how wrongs were done on both sides of the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't...
Why did the town rat him out? I want to know that.
To who?
I don't know, man. Like,
let me send my bird and...
To, like, the Fire Nation?
Yeah.
I'm gonna shoot a text.
I don't think they want... Yeah, I don't... Yeah, exactly. I don't think they want to... They want to communicate with them.
I don't know.
Zuko was here.
They could have ratted him out to somebody, and he would have gotten in trouble somehow.
I don't know.
He would have gotten like
Zuko would have gotten a demerit. Like,
what did he and Iroh say? Like at the beginning of Cave Two Lovers, like either go to the Fire Nation and like face Azula.
Yeah.
Or go to Earth Kingdom and face being captured, or like
yeah.
hostage or something. Yeah. So something would have happened. Now this is just some like Hannah Montana stuff where everybody's keeping secrets.
He runs away at the
end. I thought it was really funny, like they kept panning over his face and like no one realized that it like he like they knew who he was. They're like, well, I heard, you know, you're an outcast. It's like, and you didn't know about the giant scar on the side of his face.
Maybe it was just that one old guy who knew who had heard the
like,
Zuko story.
I was like, really?
Well, no one had seen him.
Yeah, it's not like that's it's true. Not like there's like any visual medium other than posters, and they did. I feel like they do have wanted posters though.
Well, what I mean is like
later in the season, I mean everyone knows. Like,
yeah, it's. I think it's realistic enough.
I mean, yeah, it was,
but I mean, all of that's basically irrelevant for that context of the episode.
Oh, then we get the lots of nice anime physics. Getting hit in the chest with a boulder and just
being fine, yeah. That's
but Jet died. How
yeah,
Jet
it
died?
Was a very similar move that they used. Well, he uses on Zuko,
Bender,
and the finishing move on Jet and the finishing move this guy does on Zuko are basically the same thing, and Zuko just gets up fine. So you know, whatever. Nice choreographed fight here. I appreciated how slow it was and meticulous. I feel like Korra fights are just very fast paced and stuff.
Yeah. And they're all over the place. And this is fine. Like, this is more of like one-on-one, yeah, around the state, same general area.
Fun. Yeah, and I felt more connected to this fight than I do for basically every Korra fight.
Yes.
The animation, despite being by JM Animation, the main studio for Avatar, I felt like was a little off at sometimes. Specifically the one crucial moment of Zuko being like, I'm Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, you know? Like, I felt like his character model looked interesting, not necessarily in a good way in that shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was watching, I was like, what just happened?
It's a weird shot, they're, like, panning up on him, but I felt like he looked disproportionately bad. No, I like the shot, but I don't know if it was done that well. I think overall, Lauren McMullen directed this episode, did a really great job, and all the storyboard artists. She was definitely one of the better directors, and she's in the first two seasons. This episode, by the way, is very notable because it was female writer, female director.
And all about dudes.
Of all about dudes, but of which we have neither in Korra, neither female writers nor directors. Mm. So that's great. But
and which is kind of funny considering the main character is a girl.
It's a little bit ironic there. But I guess to be fair, Lauren McMullen and Elizabeth Walshaus were the only respective female writers and directors, and they just happened to team up on this one. They rotate directors, and so just they cross paths here. I'm the only one that cares about this, but Elizabeth Walshaus's episodes, looking at the context of that, she did the Northern Air Temple, which I'm not crazy about, and she did Return to Omashu, which is just like an average episode. She did this one, which is a breakout. Appa's Last Days, which is one of the lesser episodes. But then she also does Avatar and the Fire Lord, which is another flashback episode. It's notable for that. The Ihazes do all the flashback episodes, I believe. Yes, Aaron Ihaz wrote The Storm. So them creating the backbone of the story in Avatar. I guess overall, I don't know. Any other thoughts on specific stuff in the episode?
Azula's face, the animation was weird.
When?
I don't like, just in like, specifically the, when she's like, come and play with her, like, just, they'd like, do, like, her face, like, it just bothered me.
Her eyes seemed very big.
Like, bulbous at the top?
What?
Are you saying, like, it was, like, bulbous at the top?
Yeah, or? And just, like, the way her eyes would move, and I'm like, what? And her eyebrows really freaked me out. The eyebrows throughout this entire episode were, like, really freaking me out.
That's very important.
I was like, what? Like Zuko's, even Zuko's eyebrows, like, for, like, the present day, I was like, what are they doing?
And what'd you have to bring up, Jeff?
Oh, every time I see that scene, like, I'm going to the front. I'm going to find Senzu and bring him back. I just tear up a little bit. I hope I'm not the only one.
Aw, yeah.
I'm bad. I'm like, what's the logic behind that? You can't go and do that. But you go exactly. Ahead and draw, love, dude. Love
logic.
Yeah, any other specific moments? I guess, yeah. So Azula always lies, yeah. Bringing it back after the book one finale is kind of nice.
I thought it was kind of fun how in the flashback, Azula was like, you can find some nice Earth Kingdom family to adopt you. And, like, not 5 minutes before, Earth Kingdom family had asked to stay.
That was really forceful, too. He's like, I gotta go. And they're like, you're gonna help build the barn, and we're gonna feed you.
And you're gonna like it.
Okay. Back in the camp.
Continue until morale improves.
Back when Katang Forever was a thing, I used to have a thing where it was like, since Azula always lies, and Wikipedia always lies, and the cake is a lie, and Zutara was a lie, I had Azula learned how to make Zutara cake from Wikipedia, and that was a sentence I made up.
I remember that. That was good. Good job, Sam.
That's what I did.
Or maybe really Azula's the doctor, because when the doctor always
was. Okay, that's enough of this stuff.
No.
When we get into Doctor Who, you know.
That was the only reference I felt the need to make.
You know, that's a cue for us to wrap it up when we get into Doctor Who. Okay, even though this was like a free-form discussion, I guess let's go around the horn with overall thoughts on the episode. What did you think, and bring up any specific moments you forgot, I guess, what you thought of it overall, what you think of it compared to other Avatar episodes, And then let's go by the same Korra grading scale out of 10, out of curiosity to see how we grade this compared to Korra. 5 is an average episode of television, not just of Avatar Korra as of television. 10 is the best episode of television you've ever seen. Let's start with Delaney.
I enjoyed the episode. I really haven't watched, like, I just got, for those who are unaware, I finished up my Avatar collection. I now have season 1 and season 2. So today was the first time I cracked it open and watched season 2 of Avatar.
You don't have the DVDs yet?
Test.
And now I do. I had season 3. Now I have season 1 and 2, okay?
Oh my God. You are so far behind.
Unacceptable.
Anyway. So I haven't, like, been watching, like, I haven't really been, like, I haven't rewatched Avatar in a very long time. So, just watch, I mean, I really enjoyed watching Zuko Alone. It's a fun, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a fun episode. I mean, it's because it's not, it's really sad, and it's one of, like you were saying, it's one of the more solemn episodes of Avatar. But, and like, but some of the jokes, well, not like jokes, like, I can't even call it, like, call them jokes. It's just kind of like funny kid things they did in the show, like when, specifically when Zuko and Azula were kids. And just, I don't know, in general, it's a good episode, and, what?
The hijinks?
Yes, the hijinks. Yeah.
Okay.
The Zuko and Azula hijinks.
Grade?
I don't, I mean, I definitely grade it higher than a Korra episode, but I can't, I don't know. I guess I'll give it, like, an 8.
Okay.
I'm so bad at grading, I don't know.
Jeff, overall thoughts on the episode?
Overall, like, it's just, it's always a really strong, solid episode for me. I don't really like to nitpick it or anything, really. So, unless there's cause, and there is none here for me. So, I'm good with it. I like when they sneak in, like, moral lessons. A lot of times that's with Iroh, but this time was sort of how Zuko didn't rat out the kid, and then he ended up getting a lot more than his money could have paid for. You know, karma comes back for you. So, yeah. Like it, solid episode. The top episode of TV for me would be like Liberation of New Caprica and Battlestar Galactica. So compared to that, I'm going to have to give this like an 8.5. Definitely like a 10 for episode of Avatar. But
overall, I feel like you gave core
episodes higher than this. Is this your favorite episode, though, Jeff?
Of TV? Pretty much. Yeah, it's amazing. Have you seen it?
No, I meant, is this your favorite Avatar episode?
Oh, sorry.
I don't watch Battlestar Galactica.
Favorite episode? Yeah, like, there might be one that I enjoyed more. I can't remember, but off the top of my head, favorite episode would be, like, either this or something else. I can't remember. Definitely top 2. Okay.
Gotta do a rewatch. Sam, overall thoughts on the episode?
I don't know. I mean, I watched it.
You did watch it. That was the thing that happened.
It happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any thoughts. It's just something that happened.
It did. You're correct. But what if you had to give it a number, what would you give it?
I don't know. Maybe like an 8 or 9 or something.
Okay. Fair. Yeah. I guess this episode is more emotionally evocative for me than any other Zuko storyline in the show, by far. I don't really connect with the Zuko character, but you do hear, and it's just very successful in the tone it creates, and the flashbacks are just very well executed overall. This is a 9.5 for me. I ranked it 6 in my last Avatar ranking. It would probably be around there. It's just phenomenal, and is a good example of how good Avatar really is, I would say. Yeah, so, I don't know, that was not as long as it could have been, our discussion, but...
I feel bad that I never have any thoughts on
it. It was fine, I think it's a good... people aren't going to want to listen to 2-hour podcasts in the off-season.
I feel bad because I don't feel enthusiasm over Avatar right now.
Well, I mean, it's been off the air for so many years. I feel like none of us are super like, yay, let's watch Avatar again. I mean, I liked rewatching this, but I wasn't anticipating it all day, you know?
Yeah, like, I was getting, like, I was iffy about, I love the episode, and I love Avatar, but it's like, I haven't watched an episode of Avatar in a really long time, but I'm like, I don't even know how I feel about this anymore. Like,
yeah, yeah, this was an interesting one to come back to, I'd say, even though we did rewatch the headband recently.
It's definitely better than what we, the headband, like, that's, yeah. We can't even, like, compare that.
Well, I think, I think these are similar quality levels, the headband.
Well, yeah,
oh my god, you two are nuts.
Katang is the best thing ever.
If I could say one thing, I could definitely say Zuko Lemon is probably better than Headband.
I might rank it higher this time because I'm a little down on Headband than I was before, but it's still a top two episode.
I'm that freak who I love season three. Like, everyone's like, everything else is better than season. I love season three, so I have to put Headband above
season
Zuko Lemon.
Is my favorite.
I'm the one person in the Avatar fandom who likes season.
No,
three
I think a lot of people like season three better. Season two is objectively better, though.
Well, according I can't. To oh, Scott here's my thing. I, like, in the middle of Avatar, like, in the middle of season two is, like, when I stopped watching Avatar as a child, and then I had to, like, go back on Nick and have to, like, watch all those episodes, so season two is just a blur for me. So it's like, I don't remember, like, anything. Like, I remember Toph and, like, the Crossroads of Disney.
You're in dire need of a rewatch, I would say.
Which is why I have the DVDs now. I can do that.
Immediately. Please do it. Okay.
I'm gonna have so many more snow days. I mean, I might
yeah,
as
that's
well.
True. You should. Relating to this format, Ian, or we did commentaries before. Sweet Victor on the forums brought up that people like listening to this while doing other things, and you can't really do that for a commentary, which I think is definitely valid. And I also haven't been satisfied with the level of discussion on the commentaries. And I think, for instance, just now, we had a much better discussion on Zuko Alone than we would have while talking while watching
it. It's too hard not to, like, make fun of it while we're in the middle of watching it.
Or just, like, laughing at the
Korra.
Jokes.
It's too hard
the,
to, like, not
yeah,
make fun of Korra while we're in the middle of watching Korra.
Granted. Ian Waffles on Tumblr said, having to do with the commentaries, I think you guys should do every episode of Avatar and Korra. This would provide over 70 weeks of podcasts done that can be easily put together, and it would allow reflection on the old episodes, how they stack up to your current standards, when where we've been. So
I could, like, live stream it, like, every weekday on DF.
If we had more of an audience, like, we could do stuff like that. But it's the fandom's very dead in the off season of Korra. I agree we should revisit the old episodes. I don't necessarily want to revisit episodes I don't care about, though. So I think we'll do the notable ones, which is,
like, obviously we're never going to do the Great Divide because
no,
the
I think
worst
that
thing
could. No, that one is notable because it's bad. Like,
oh, okay, okay.
I just
so
mean,
that one's
I mean,
okay.
Like,
so
the
it's
middle
not just
episodes.
Ones you don't like. It's just in general. Like, if they're
yeah,
like no one cares about them.
Episodes. I want to just do episodes we have would have a lot to say about. For instance, like Nightmares and Daydreams. I like that episode, but
yes.
It's just funny, and we wouldn't have much to say about it.
Yes.
So I kind of want to listen to we did do an episode discussion for that one at the time. I don't even remember what we talked about, but probably Sheep. Like, that was the thing at the time.
Or probably just went on and on for You're My Forever Girl for
oh, we did.
Minutes.
We probably did do that. Yeah. Okay. But so yeah, I think I like this format. I think we're probably going to do these again. Just this. I'm going to call this revisited, I think, in the Zuko Alone Revisited. Yeah, in the podcast title. So we'll do other revisitations, I don't know if that's a word, of Avatar episodes.
Crossroads of Destiny would be a good, like...
Yeah, I agree. That would be a good one to do. Basically all the finales.
Yeah, so I was about to say, I mean, we could even do, like, finale comparisons, like, which is what we kind of did. Like,
rewatch 3 hours of television.
No, I just meant, like, when we're talking, like, comparing them. we're not going to do, like, a finale marathon, that'd be awful.
No, it would be amazing, because they're all great.
The Korra season 2 finale is not.
No. Not Korra.
What I meant was comparing the finales of Avatar to Korra. I mean, what you're suggesting is much better. Let's do that.
Just all three Avatars.
You are much more younger and more spry
more...
and enthusiastic.
Sam, we're not like 40 years old, okay? We're college students.
At most, you guys, except Jeff. You guys are like two years older than me at the most.
You're still like very young and you're enthusiastic.
Okay.
I'm not going to keep up with you, so.
Okay, Delaney has more enthusiasm having gotten into the fandom more recently, is what I would say.
Yes.
Very true.
Okay, that's.
Well, being like an active member of the fandom, like I didn't know what a fandom was until
You were missing out on the great, internets in 2006 when there were discussion forums.
I've been watching Avatar. I watched Avatar when I was younger, like when it was on, but I didn't know there was like the internet to do things on with Avatar.
The internet,
other than play games on Nickelodeon.
What an interesting concept. Okay, let's wrap things up. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Jeff Blaney, Sam, tech directors AJ, Kevin, Jeff. I produce that at the podcast. Musical credits to the Yoshida brothers, Jeremy Zuckerman, and Luke Tripp. AJ also did the quote Laja I'll use for this one. Logo and banner by Kevin, Dong Feng Zone by Jay. Contributors, Gareth, Sierra, Nick, Devin, and Lexi.
Let's see, G Money, Sierra Miss, Nick and Knight, Rudy and Tabooty.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating from the spirit world. While donations go directly to supporting our podcast, you can donate by going to dongbufeng.net/podcast and clicking donate at the top. You can also see our bios, dongbufeng.net/podcast and clicking podcast bios. And if Allie ever finishes that picture she's drawing, I will add that to the bio page. Although, if she
did you hear about her bossing me about my eye color?
Allie's drawing this picture of us. She has asking us all for our nations, like which nation we identify with, and then she's like wants it to make us somewhat resemble us, so she needs to know everyone's appearance.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, go ahead, Dylan.
Well, she was like, "What's your eye color?" I'm like, "Blue green." Then she made me pick a color. I'm like, they make a blue green crayon.
Yeah, apparently Allie doesn't have blue green as a.
She's using markers.
She was also offended that you thought she used crayons. Yeah.
You know what?
Oh yeah, I know. I did that on purpose. Like, no one uses crayons.
In like 2007 or 8 or something, Allie did like a group picture of everybody.
Yeah, she's redoing this one. Yeah.
So she made me have red hair. So I'm not forgiving her for that.
Yeah, never.
I have black hair. So.
She'll probably give me a mohawk because I've offended her. I mean, it'll be okay.
We are every other week, new podcasts until as of now, until I decide against that, probably for a while. So basically every other Saturday. You can give us your feedback on this discussion. Do you like this format? Get in on the discussion on dongbufeng.net/forums. Click on podcast forum and then click on podcast 126.
You can even play Hurt
Heal. And then comment. You could play Hurt Heal. I need to Hurt Heal. I haven't done that in a while.
Katang is still like 150 or something.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my goodness. Hurt Heal, the classic forum game, Sam. Come on.
You know what?
Come on.
About that.
You should be about that.
On the family tree /
Well, DF doesn't have a family tree. That's a KF thing.
The general chat room.
We do have a general chat thread, but we've never uses that in a while. Yeah. Send us voicemail, go to dongbufeng.net/podcast, and there's gonna be an annoying thing that pops up on the right. It's annoying because you should send us voicemail.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I've gotten on it and I'm like, this is obnoxious. What is this? I'm like, oh, that's what
should be noted, I did not program that. I copy and pasted their code and I put it in. And so that's why it pops up like that.
I almost left a voicemail once. I'm like, I just want to annoy Dylan. What is the best way to do this?
There's probably more efficient ways. Okay, any last thoughts on anything? What should we end on?
Made in the Earth Kingdom.
That joke was so jarring, but I think it's funny, like, because it's just so serious the entire thing. Okay, and on something related to this episode, could be Turtle Duck, could be Made in the Earth Kingdom.
Chicken flying over.
Chicken flying.
There are the two jokes. There we are.
Yeah, wait, was there a third one or no?
Give him a left.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give him a left. Yeah, that was funny, too. I like that one, yeah. Okay, thanks. Thanks for listening, guys. 1, 2, 3, Turtle Duck.
Turtle Duck.
Made in the Earth Kingdom. The right look.
Give him a left.
Left hook.